Rock and roll to get your 10 o'clock hour going here at Rosie on the House. Thank you for tuning in. Here's what we've done so far. In the 7 o'clock hour, we had the Arizona Magazine Hour. We talked about things you and your family can start planning on doing for spring break. Get out there and experience the great state of Arizona. We threw about 30 ideas at you. So if you missed the 7 o'clock hour, make sure you go back and grab the podcast at rosieonthehouse.com. 8 o'clock, we brought in our landscape specialist, Mr. John J. Harper, and answered questions about all what this rain is going to do to your yard and all this moisture, this winter moisture, is going to produce in your yard across the great landscape of Arizona. 9 o'clock was open
hour. We gave
away
Suns basketball tickets in that hour.
Yes, we did. Some good tickets, too. Yeah. 9 o'clock hour, we did open line, and I think Jennifer, I don't know that I've ever seen her that busy. The phones were absolutely ringing off the hook. For about every call you hear us take on air, Jennifer handles about three or four calls off air. So she was pretty busy last hour. 10 o'clock, we go to the topic of the
week. We gave away Coyotes tickets at 9 o'clock hour, too.
Yes, we did.
And I bring this up because KTAR just dropped a sweet package on us.
Sweet,
Suns,
like
sweet.
S-W-E-E, a sweet.
A bag, sweet.
Like a sweet, that was a sweet, that was some sweet air you
it's
caught.
It's about mid-court on the first suite level.
S-U-I-T-E, suite.
Yes. For 12.
Okay.
They say, you know what, our sister station is a sports station. They've got relationships with all the sports teams. They end up with these tickets. And they say, you know, Rosie, you're the longest continuous radio program on our station. Your listeners deserve some fun. Here's a bunch of tickets. And we have a suite ticket, 12 tickets with a parking pass for Monday night. We don't have time to coordinate putting anything together.
I'll be out of town.
So stay tuned. I'm going to be at the rodeo all weekend. I don't have time to make
calls. We're going to give the whole suite away to one lucky winner.
Yes. So okay. You've got to be able to put 11 behinds in the seat.
Okay.
I don't know how yet, but we're gonna know here in this hour.
We got to figure that out quickly. All right. The topic of the week on our blog and newsletter was saguaro cacti. And as y'all know, that is one of the few plants I can actually grow in my yard. I've got a couple. Haven't touched them the 30 years I've lived there, and they're doing just fine. That's why I've come to like them. But I didn't want to do a show on saguaros without a saguaro specialist because I don't know them well enough to carry the subject myself. So let me introduce y'all to the biologist, the resident biologist at beautiful Saguaro National Park down near Tucson. Let me introduce my listeners to Mr. Don Swan. Mr. Don, we certainly appreciate you carving time out of your Saturday morning to join us and all the listeners of Rosie on the House.
Well, Rosie, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about the park. The park itself. I mean, y'all have a monster spread of real estate down there.
We do. It's about 140 square miles. People don't realize how big it is. And it is a beautiful place. And it's beautiful right now because of the rain. It's starting to green up. And, it's just fantastic. So everybody should come visit.
The Arizona Trail cuts through Saguaro National Park, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. It cuts right through the heart of it.
Y'all have got camping at what is it, the Manning Camp?
We have camping all the way up to 8,000 feet in elevation. So if you take the Arizona Trail up to the top of the mountain, there's pine trees up there and great campsites, and it's a great place to hike and camp.
Y'all've got
and you have to hike. There's no road that goes up to the top.
That's what's so lovely about it. You can hike, or they're all equestrian friendly too, right?
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Great place to ride.
And y'all've got a great night program.
We do. We have programs where people can take night hikes. They can go out and see the stars. So we have programs that go on here just about every day. We have two districts to the park. So there's a piece of the park, about 100 square miles, is on the east side of Tucson. And then the western district is over on the west side. That's about 40 square miles. So both are, you know, the West District is easier to get to from Interstate 10, but they're both great. They're a little bit different, and they both have a lot of saguaros.
I just got to know. Okay, we know the square miles. We know the acreage. Do we know how many saguaros?
We estimate that there are about 1,896,000 saguaros in the park. So
wow.
That's an estimate based on about 75 years of counting and measuring saguaros here. We have these big citizen science projects where we invite the public to come out. We train them on how to count and measure and map saguaros. And, yeah, so our latest estimate is close to 2 million saguaros.
So it's like aerial photos where you're measuring density. That sounds like something they just recently did on the Capitol Mall. But we won't talk about that. I'm just saying. Sounds like similar technology. What are some of the things you're surprised about what people ask you concerning this iconic Arizona plant?
Yeah, great question. So there are a lot of myths about the saguaro. I think one that I get asked a lot about is how old they are. Some people think they live for thousands of years. They do live a long time. They live longer than we do, but probably closer to 120 or 150 years. Still a long time, but not thousands of years. I think the other really big myth that I get asked about a lot is that they're disappearing, that they're declining. In fact, we think there are roughly about twice as many saguaros in the park as there were a few decades ago. So actually, we've had a pretty high survival of young saguaros since the 1970s. Not so much the last few years because we've been in a drought.
Yes.
But the saguaros are doing fine here. They're doing great, and they're doing pretty well in a lot of other areas of their range as well.
How far and about the Mogollon, the base of the Mogollon Rim is kind of like the very edge of their territory, right?
Yeah, you kind of start, if you're going up I-17 towards Flagstaff, you'll see they kind of peter out, and yeah, once you get up there, higher elevation, it's too cold. They can handle a frost, but if it stays below freezing, they can't handle it, so they don't like the snow.
and then how far down below the international border are they indigenous to the northern Mexican areas?
Down to a little further south from Hermosillo. So
okay.
They're actually not in Baja, they're just in Sonora, and they go down. So it's a pretty limited range. We're really, really so lucky to have them in our area because they don't grow in most places. People think they grow in Texas and New Mexico, but they really don't. They're really an Arizona, Sonora plant. There's a few in California along the Colorado River.
Yeah, it's like it's like watching the fall of the Alamo, and there's saguaro cactuses in the scene. It's confusing, you know.
Yeah, I know, and so that's kind of created this myth that they're all over the West. We like that they're a Western icon, but we don't like that Texas and those states take credit for them. They're an Arizona species.
Now I have to ask, my wife and I every fall harvest a lot of prickly pear fruit, and we squeeze it and create jellies and jams and additives for our iced tea and stuff. We just love the prickly pear fruit extract. I have never harvested the saguaro. Is it legal? It's a state flower. Can I harvest it?
You could on your property. Yeah,
okay.
You couldn't come to public lands and do it.
Okay.
There are some restrictions, but... Yeah, and they're not as juicy as prickly pear fruit, but people, particularly the native people in Arizona, have been harvesting them for thousands of years and continue to do so. And they make, you know, you can make jams and syrup and beverages out of them. They are edible.
Well, we're fortunate enough to have a few on our property. So, Jen, let's watch them this year and see if we can... You know, I'll let you stand up on my shoulders, and you can use the swimming pool brush, and maybe we can pull a couple fruit down. And
sure, honey. We'll take pictures for Facebook. Maybe we'll even use one of those little live camera things. Hey, Don, so you can't pick the fruit if it's on national land or state land. How about the ribs? Can you harvest the ribs if they're just laying there on the ground?
No, you can't. Yeah, they're protected as well. Yeah. So if you're on your property or you have the permission of the property owner.
If there was any one thing that wasn't protected, people would be exploiting that angle all day long.
And the ribs are used in construction. I mean, they've been, again, used for thousands of years in construction, and they're attractive, and you can purchase them. But,
Well, I have a confession to make.
Yeah, you do.
about 10 years ago, I was riding my horse with a friend. And she's kind of like Rosie in that she doesn't think the rules ever apply to her. So this
piece of property was out in front of her house,
but it was actually state land. So we found these beautiful sorrel ribs she thought would look great on my front porch. So we went back and with a Jeep and we brought them home. So I still
you
have those.
You better return them.
So should I bring them to you?
You bet. We didn't take them off the national park, I promise.
Well, and the ribs, you know, if you think about it, they're used by wildlife, actually like animals will nest in them, and even when the saguaros are dead, those ribs will stay on the ground for a long time, and they're beautiful. And so you want to leave them out in the desert for other people to enjoy seeing them.
I was all excited, and Rosie looked at me and said, "Really?" It's like, okay.
You shouldn't have done that.
Did not know.
I think people are surprised when they find out how much water is stored in a saguaro cactus.
It's incredible. They're more than 80% water. We estimate, our scientists have estimated that a saguaro that's about 20 feet tall, I think, has something on the order of 960 quarts of water in it. And, you know, so a big saguaro can weigh, if it's got branches on it, it can weigh up to 8 tons. So that 20-foot tall saguaro without branches is going to weigh about a ton. So, and that's all water. And it'll take up that water during the summer rains. It'll swell. It'll actually swell, so the ribs will stretch out and it'll get fat. And then it can just use that water throughout the rest of the year. So they're really adapted to our dry desert conditions where it doesn't rain very often.
We're going to take a short break. More when we get back with Don Swan, the biologist for the Saguaro National Park, down actually located on both sides of Tucson, with well over a million saguaro cactus covering over 140 square miles. It's a beautiful park if you haven't been there. And it goes up to 8,000 feet. So, I mean, it covers a lot of terrain.